Well, folks, we welcome you all here to this annual praise service in Dromore Free Presbyterian Church. We trust as we join together and we hear those folks that are singing do so, and as we hear Sister Margaret and then close with a short, brief word from the Scriptures, that the Lord will draw near to us and encourage her heart and bless her soul. We're going to commence the meeting by turning to hymn number 6. Number 6 is the hymn number, page 177. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. So hymn number 6, page 177, we're standing as we sing. We'll just sing the first 3 verses, so the opening 3 verses, please, standing as we sing. Let's join together in prayer and we will seek the Lord for gathering and meeting here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us along to this service. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together to praise thy glorious name for all that thou art and what thou hast wrought and done. We think, Lord, of our salvation, each one who is saved. We thank thee from the depths of our soul that thou hast met with us in grace. And we pray tonight that as we join together in this house to come to worship and to praise thy name, that as our thoughts turn towards thee, our God, what has been wrought for our heart and our soul, that thou wilt come refresh us. May the things of thy truth, the gospel of saving grace that has been brought to our heart, may these things be more meaningful to us, and may we appropriate more of these things by faith to our heart. We thank thee, O God, that there is a height and there is a depth and there is a breadth to the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, that we are to know more and more of. And we pray that even here tonight, as a result of coming to thy house, that that will be the case. We're mindful, Lord, of any who are without the Saviour. We pray for them and pray, Lord, that the great truth of Christ, his redeeming grace, as it is heralded even in this house tonight, that that message will come to their heart and they will come to saving faith in Christ. O God, show them the guilt and the awful weight of sin that is upon them, and the awful doom should they die without thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt cause their eyes to turn towards Christ and to come to know thy pardoning grace in thine only begotten Son. Remember, Lord, those that will take part in this meeting. We think of all those that will be singing. Help them each one. Encourage their heart. And we pray that as we listen to the words and song, Lord, that these things all will be an encouragement to our heart and our soul. We remember our sister Margaret Russell with us tonight. We thank you for the opportunity that is afforded that we may hear firsthand a report from the land of Kenya. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt put thy hand upon her and give her words from thyself. Help us, Lord, in this house. And we pray that you'll draw near to us and encourage us. We pray that even the needs of thy work in the land of Kenya, that need will press more and more upon our hearts by way of a burden, that we would persist in prayer and that we would seek to give our energy and our effort to the support of thy cause in that land. Help us now tonight and watch over us. Bless all that's said and done. And we pray that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ, he will have all the honour and all the glory. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are delighted tonight to have several taking part in this praise service. Our brother David Warwick. We have a group of men from the Mourne congregation. We're glad they're with us too. And then our sister Ruth McRoberts. You will know that she belongs to Banbridge, so I said, welcome to Dromore. Of course, her husband said, have you moved again? So not quite like that, but it's good to have her sister with us tonight singing. So these folk are going to come, and they're going to minister in song twice, and we're going to begin with our brother David and ask him to come and to bring his first two pieces in song, please. Thank you.
Learn to trust in God. But I will
Thank you, David. We're now going to ask the morning group to come, and they're going to sing for us their first two pieces. Thank you.
When you gaze on
Brethren, we're going to ask our sister Ruth now, and she will come and sing two pieces for us. Thank you.
Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When we enter heaven's portals and our Savior's face we see, cares of life will be forgotten. We'll be happy, glad, and free. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head.
And we thank all those who have sung. We're looking forward to hearing them again later in the meeting. but we trust the Lord will bless these messages and song, which I believe he will, to each heart. Now, there is a little bit of a Kenyan feel to the meeting. There will be an offering that will be taken up, as was announced, for pastors in Kenya. But we are delighted tonight to have our sister Margaret. I phoned her a few days ago and didn't know that she was over, but it appears that her stay was a little bit extended. So that was providential. We are delighted to have our sister with us. And she is going to come and just bring a report of the work in Kenya and bring in the matter, of course, of those pastors that we are seeking to support. Thank you, Margaret. God bless.
Well, it is a joy for me to be here this evening and to have this opportunity to speak again about the work that God has called me to, and particularly in relation to the Kenyan pastors who the mission recently employed, and how, and because of that, of course, they do need our support tonight. And they have been an encouragement and a blessing to us, even though they've just been there for a short while amongst us. But there are people, one of them particularly, that we know well. But before I talk about these two young pastors, I would like to do two things. Before that, first of all, I would like to, because I'm in the church here in Drumore, I would like to give a word of thanks to the congregation here in Drumore. I know we have visitors from other churches, but we had a painting team in August from Drumore, and I thank God for their encouragement and the good job that they did. And of course they were not just from Drumore, but we had those from other churches. But the Reverend Kenny led the group, and it was a real blessing to us, and I know the church in Drumore supported them for that ministry that they came over to do. So I want to thank you sincerely for that. I would also like to thank the children's meeting here in Drumore for your generosity to us in the work of God out there in the land of Kenya. You've been faithful for many years and you've supported us as the children's meeting here in Drumore, and we appreciate that. Also would like to pay tribute or say a word of thanks to the work that Paul and Diane Halfley do for Kenya. And it's such an encouragement to us. Their endless zeal and energy, it really is such a blessing and encouragement to us. Now I know they also obviously must have a large team of workers, but we do thank them for how they have raised money over the past 2 years for food for the school. And we have benefited from that, and our students and staff have benefited from that, and we have bought beans for a year and also are now buying maize for a year. So I appreciate that very much indeed. I would also like to say a word personally. I'm home on holiday, and it was planned that I would come for the month of January. I did hand over the administration of the academy to the board of management that are in charge of BCFC Christian Academy. And that is in preparation for my retirement whenever it comes. But I felt I should step back. And so I have handed that work over. And there is a young man by the name of Stephen Yotta, who is in charge under the Board of Management of the administration work. And I would ask you to pray very especially for the school. It's I know myself all that it involves, and it's a big task, and therefore I bring it to you again tonight and ask you to pray for the school. Pray for the principal, Eric Kamende, who is in charge there and there nearly 24/7 in that school. And he does need encouragement tonight, and through your prayers, pray that the Lord will strengthen him for the many challenges that the school faces. We are still facing the challenge of reduced enrolment, which means reduced financial income. But we thank God for those we have. We thank God for his hand upon us last year. But we still need the support, financial support, and the prayer support of God's people in our denomination. So just because I have handed over the administration doesn't mean that my heart is not in the academy. So do pray very much for it. We thank God for the Pattersons, who came out during last year, and certainly it was timely when they came. I was on my own, and they certainly got into the work and had a full schedule of work laid before them. And Alison came, they came home for Christmas due to her health checks, and all was good, and they travelled back on Wednesday to the field. So we thank God for them and do remember them in your prayers. Now, I came tonight to speak about two pastors that the Mission Board have employed for the work of the gospel. Now, the two men, while they are Kenyans, you know, we have, Kenya is a big place, and we have many tribes in Kenya, and they're very different, the two of them, but they are united by the fact that they know the Lord. They have the call of the God, call of God to the work of the gospel. They have been trained in good colleges, and they have zeal and a desire to do the work of God. I start off by speaking to you about one of them called Patrice. Now, Patrice is probably not a familiar name. It wasn't familiar to me, but it's from Patricia or Patrick. But this young man is called Patrice. And I have to go into a little bit of the background of where he's working and how this young man came to be with us. Gillian, as you know, spent many years in Kenya, and her latter years were spent in Western Kenya. Now, we have 47 counties in Kenya, and Gillian worked in the Kakamega County. I've been working mainly in West Pokot County. But Gillian worked in Kakamega County, which is on the western side of Kenya and near the Ugandan border. And when she left, Kathy Walker was there, and Kathy Walker went down to Kakamega to start a bookshop. And the bookshop is doing well, and we're thankful for the encouragement of the shop. And it's called Beulah Christian Literature. But Kathy, as you know, left last year in May, and that was due to her own planned retirement and also due to family illness and the responsibilities that she had to her family. So then in Kakamega, we were left with the lady called Josephine, who works in the bookshop, and she is a married lady, a mother of four. And she really also has done a very good job on her own, as she was left there for a period of time until the Pattersons came. And we thank God for her and for the progress that that bookshop is making there in Kakamega. Now, Patrice is from the Kakamega County. And he is a Luya by tribe, and that's quite important because the work in Western Kenya is meant a lot amongst the Luya people. And culture and language is very important when you are communicating the gospel. And that young man has been brought up in that area. He was saved when he went to Nairobi to look for employment after his education. And when he was in Nairobi, he met up with believers. He went to a Bible college called the Bible College, the East African Bible College there in Nairobi, and it is a separatist college, a reform college. Then he came in contact with a person called Dr. John McKnight, and some of you may have heard of Dr. McKnight. He's from America, and he has been closely associated with our pastors, our ministers, our works there in North America, because he is the president of the American Council of Christian Churches. And he has a ministry in Kenya also. And he has pastors in Western Kenya in the Kakamega County.
and he came in contact with Patrice. And Patrice had finished Bible college. He was in a Reformed Baptist church in Nairobi, and he attended his conferences. And Dr. McKnight was very impressed with this young man. He's married. His wife's called Gladys. He has two children, Bernard and Gaius. And he was very impressed with him. And whenever we were developing the work there in Kakamega as a mission, and I might add that whenever Gillian left, that work belonged to the Bible Christian Faith Church, but they felt due to the distance that they would not be able to govern that work out there so far away from the main work there in Bukot and in Kitale. And so the mission took on the work there in Kakamega in western Kenya. And so Patrice came in contact with Dr. McKnight. Dr. McKnight shared pastor's conference with us in Kakamega just 2 years ago, and this young man, Patrice, was there. And he was highly recommended by Dr. McKnight. He was not in full-time work. He was just doing some, he was self-employed and doing some contract work. So the mission board interviewed him and felt that he certainly had was a good young man. He had a good standing outside the camp of apostate churches there in Kenya and sound in doctrine. And so they employed him in August. So he moved. He was in Nairobi. He has moved to Kakamega and he's living there with his wife and family. Now he's quite busy. On Monday he works in the bookshop in Kakamega to relieve Josephine. On Tuesday he has a Bible study. And Kakamega is a university town, and the Bible study really is dominated by the university students. And that is a great opportunity, although it has its drawbacks, because sometimes their classes, their holidays, when they move away, then the Bible study, you wouldn't have as many there. But there are locals as well that come to that Bible study on a Tuesday lunch hour. Then he goes out to Nyoporo, where Gillian Gillespie worked, and he has the prayer meeting there on Thursday, and he's also responsible for the Sunday services out there. But he's under a program of work that has been made by the Reverend Patterson, and they sometimes alternate as they continue the ministry and develop the ministry there in Kakamega. Also, the other young man called Andrew goes there at times to do evangelism and takes the services as well. So Patrice is busy in the work of the Lord, and I would ask you tonight to take him upon your heart and pray for his work and the work ministry that he is involved in. Then I come to the other young man. He's called Andrew. His name is more common. And Andrew is a different from a different tribe and community, and we're not tribalists, but we're just saying that the culture and the area that he comes from is quite different, but it is quite close to the men and many of the people that we work with in the Bible Christian Faith Church. But he came from a place in the mountains, in the Rift Valley there, called Chibai, and he's a Kalenjin by tribe. He was brought up not in a Christian home. He was brought up in a Roman Catholic home and a polygamous family. And none of his family members, even to this day, are converted. But someone gave him a tract, and he read the tract, and then through other circumstances in his life, he was drawn to the Lord and received Christ as his Saviour when he was in his teenage years. Then he came in contact with the BCFC Bible College through another student who had come from his area to the Bible College. And he came later after that other man had left, or at least was finishing his studies, and Andrew spent 4 years there amongst us in the Bible College. He proved to be a good and a faithful student. And after he completed his studies, he studied with the Geneva Reformed Seminary online, and after quite a while, probably 6 years, he finished his degree last year and was able to go to Greenville to graduate. Now, that was just before Dr. Allison took ill. And but he went and he graduated and he came back and he felt led of the Lord that he wanted to work for the Free Presbyterian Mission. And so he applied for our mission and he was accepted by the mission board. He is married also to a young girl called Mercy. He has two young boys, Jaden and Timothy. And I would just ask you to take Andrew upon your heart. Now, he is living in Kitale area, on the outskirts of Kitale, and he majors his ministry in an area called Bekeke, which also is on the outskirts of Kitale, and he takes the services there, and he also does book tables on market days in Bekeke and another place in Sibanga. Also, I omitted to say that Patrice does a book table in Kakamega town. It's a big town. In fact, it's a town, the county has 1.6 million people, the county of Kakamega. So in Kakamega, where Patrice does the book table, there's many opportunities. Now, Andrew also is doing the same thing in a different area. And he does the book tables there. He takes the prayer meeting. On Sunday, he does a discipleship class with believers there in Bekeke. There are about 20 people going to that service on the Lord's Day. And he has also been helping or testified over the radio, on the radio ministry that the Reverend Patterson is involved in, and has, I think, preached on over the radio there in that side of Kenya, there in Kitale in Trans Nzoia County. So I would ask you very especially to pray for these two young men. They need support. And you know, we as missionaries, come home to raise our support. But these men are directly supported by the mission board, and they do need your prayers and your financial help even this evening. And I do thank you for thinking of this and even having this special meeting this evening, and thinking of Kenya and remembering these two young men, even with your contributions. And so I do ask you to pray much as the work of the Free Presbyterian Mission develops on that western side of Kenya. Now, with any progress that comes, there's always stumbling blocks and hurdles along the way. Now, what we have discovered is that our work is progressing, and there are so many areas calling out for missionaries, pastors, to come and to preach the word. But we are registered as a mission. We're not registered as a church. And therefore, when the work grows and when you have more than 10 in a meeting, the law in Kenya says you must register as a society. Now, we thought that would just be a matter of procedure. But then when we inquired about it, we were told that registration of churches in Kenya was put on hold in 2014. And that ban has not been lifted. They're hoping it will. But tonight there is no registration. So that indeed is a serious stumbling block. But the work of God is still going on. We can work in the bookshops. We can have pastors' conferences. And I would just like to say also in regard to that, in March, there's going to be a conference, a pastor's conference in Kakamega, and Dr. Lindsay Wilson is going out, Dr. McKnight is coming from USA, and the Reverend Patterson, and these two young pastors as well will be assisting even in those pastor's conferences. So they're having one in Kakamega, and then they're having one over the border in a place called Mbale, which is not so far away, but it's in Uganda. And why are they going there? They're going there because Dr. McKnight has several pastors that he knows and is training on that side of the border there into Uganda. So we are able to do this ministry of outreach and have these conferences and the bookshop work and all that. There's not a problem. But whenever it comes to establishing a local church, then this is when this law comes into place. And we need registration. So that is something also I would like you to take upon your hearts. And so I leave these needs before you. And we believe that the Lord, while Some doors are closing, other doors are opening, and certainly the work of the mission is expanding, particularly there in Western Kenya. And we thank God for the open door for the gospel. And we've heard tonight sung, the harvest fields are white, the fields are white already unto harvest, but the labourers are few. We need missionaries. We thank God for the Macaulays who came out, Rachel and David, for a short period, and we thank God for the Pattersons who've been enabled to return, but you know we need more missionaries. But we thank God also very particularly for the Kenyan pastors, because these are the men, and this is what Kenya is crying out for, faithful pastors of the flock of God, and pray that God will bless the pastors in BCFC and also bless these two young men as they continue in the work of the Lord. Thank you very much. Sorry, I've taken too much time.
I'd like to thank her sister for that report. It's informative, and I believe it's very, very important. And I trust that what you've heard, you'll carry in your heart, and you will pray much over the work in Kenya. As regards time, don't worry. I have a rough schedule. We're right on. We're fine. So I anticipated her taking that time. Hymn number nine, we're going to sing a hymn. And you've heard the need here of meeting the salaries of these two men, especially Patrice and Andrew. And I trust that you will take that upon your heart, and that you will give as the Lord would direct and lead you to give. We're going to have the offering, and hymn number 9, page 178, with harps and with viols there stand a great throng. Hymn number 9, remaining seated, and then we'll stand. I'll change your positions later on, but we'll remain seated as that offering is now being received. Verses 4 and 5, standing please. Well, the folks that are with us tonight to sing have one more piece each that they're going to bring. I'm not going to introduce them individually, but we're going to ask our brother, David, to come and sing first, then the Mourn group, and then our sister Ruth. So if you just come up whenever the other has completed, and then I'll say a few words after that. Thank you.
From the shifting shadows through
children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Some through the
could I thank all those that have sung, our brother David, Ruth, and of course the group from Bourne Free Presbyterian Church. We thank them, each and every one, for their ministry and song. I believe it has been a blessing, and I trust that as we reflect on those words sung, that they will enrich our heart and encourage us in the work of God. Well, we're coming to the closing part of our meeting. I want you to turn to the Word of God and to the book of Jonah. As you're doing that, let me also once again reiterate our warm thanks to our sister Margaret Russell, of course, for being with us here this evening. It's been a joy to have her and to hear an update of the work in Kenya. And we do trust the Lord indeed will encourage us to prayer and to think much of the work in the land of Kenya. I had the opportunity in 2003 of going out there, and I have many, many treasured memories. Maybe one of the ones I don't have a treasured memory about is I got the job of handing over the keys of the new vehicle. Was new then. That was the Land Rover. And of course, we made a bit of a speech and handed the keys to our brother Kendagore. I had intimated in that it was something akin to the chariot recorded in the book of Acts. And of course there had been a video made of this, and then once that was done, it obviously went back to mission station, and we got a phone call in Katali at the mission compound from our sister Margaret. There's a problem with the video, because rather than speak about Philip in the chariot, I had taken extra biblical revelation and mentioned how Stephen was in the chariot. So Margaret had said Stephen had somehow crawled out of the rubble in Jerusalem. but that was something of a humorous event. So there was a substantial re-edit had to be done of that visit. So that's my claim to infamy back in Kenya at that time. But it is was a real joy to be there, and it really was an eye-opener, if we could put it like that, because it gives you a real feel for the mission and what's going on. And I would certainly encourage anyone when mission trips are being planned, that if you are thinking at all of going out, well, let me encourage you to go. It will give you a real understanding and will be a real help to you as you seek to grasp what goes on the mission field. I want you to look at verses 1 to 3 of Jonah chapter 1 with me. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We end our reading there at verse 3. Perhaps we could stand for prayer briefly. and commit our time around the Word of God to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for what already has taken place in this house. We thank You for the ministry and song from all. We thank You for the report that our sister has brought. And Lord, we do commend these pastors to Thee on the work in Kenya. And we pray that what we read here in Your Word will be an encouragement to us as we think upon Your cause. We ask this in the name of Christ, and we pray for that liberty and the help of the Holy Spirit as we look into Thy truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to leave with you the words that are found there in verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh. There is, of course, a missionary field to this praise service tonight. We have been reminded of the need of Kenya, and I trust that as we think here of what took place in the life of Jonah and the statement that God made to Jonah, that will take a fresh grip, as it were, by the help of the Spirit of God upon our hearts as we think of the Lord's work, particularly in that land, and of course our support for it. But you will notice here that God had a purpose in regard to Nineveh. When He says here to Jonah, He of course is speaking to a man who is a Jew. By the way, this is what we may claim to be the first missionary effort from Israel to another country. But let us note that God has a purpose in regard to Nineveh. Jonah, of course, didn't feel that. As we know, if you know the story of Jonah, you'll know that he didn't want to go. And he didn't have much time for the Ninevites because of their godlessness. But he could no more deflect God from His purpose for Nineveh than we can deflect God from His purpose. And if I may make special reference here as a church, there are many mission stations in the world. There are many doors that this church as a denomination could have entered into. There are many places in the world that present themselves, at least by way of places, names on the map. But God, over 30 years ago, opened the door in the land of Kenya, gave a call to her sister and others to go into that land. And we can say this, God has a purpose. As He had for Nineveh, so He has for every mission field which He opens up, and we're tonight particularly thinking of the land of Kenya. So there's a thought to take hold of. The missionary effort that stands before our church is something that God has brought about. And it is God who has a purpose for us in that country and in that land. Now, Nineveh was no easy task. It was a great city, we are told, in that you could take 3 days and walk around it. I'm sure it will take you a lot longer to walk around Kenya. Our sister has mentioned all those counties and then the numbers of people that are in that land. But, of course, Jonah found out that Nineveh, and knew about it, I suppose, that it was a very wicked and it was a very godless place. God says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And just as there was all these difficulties, the size of the city, the location of where it was, and then, of course, the godlessness of it, and the many obstacles, no doubt, that Jonah would have felt as he contemplated going to Nineveh, as he contemplated this statement of God, arise, go to Nineveh. But yet, let us remember that is, none of those difficulties should have ever have gotten in the way of Jonah going to Nineveh. None of the difficulties that face us in any mission station, but if we're thinking about Kenya, and her sister has mentioned some, none of those difficulties should ever cause us to balk at the work and the door that God has opened. There's one thing that we need as a church as we seek to go forward in any mission field, and that is the presence of God and the help of God. When God opens the door of opportunity, he says, I will be with thee. What God did require in his purpose for Nineveh was an individual in this instance. His name was Jonah. Now we could ask, well, why did God go to Jonah? Why did God choose this man? Why did God say to this man, Jonah, you are the man who is to arise and go to Nineveh? We cannot say. We could surmise many things. Maybe he was a man that needed some important lessons taught to him, and no doubt he had to learn some things about the ways of God. But God chose him, and God directed him to go to Nineveh. Among others that could have went, and we could simply ask the question, couldn't we? Well, why did God direct this church into the land of Kenya? There are many other churches, there are many other witnesses that God could have used, but God opened the door for us. And I well remember the testimony of her sister Margaret, and of course, before even she went, others had laboured, and she entered into those labours. But God brought that about, and God directed us into that field and into that service. Could I make that a little bit more particular, because it would be very easy to leave it there, and then we simply, as it were, collectively say, well, we've got a responsibility for the land of Kenya. Can I pointedly ask the question here in this house this evening? Is God speaking to you? Is God saying to you as an individual, arise, here's where I want you to go? I'm not saying it's Kenya. Maybe it is. And maybe this meeting in the providence of God is ordered so that you might hear a challenge about the land of Kenya. And it might be your name, as it were, that you can read here and say, you, arise, go to Nineveh. Because God uses individuals. God's purpose for Nineveh was that it might hear the preaching of Jonah. Now, it was God's message, but it was Jonah who was doing the preaching. And if you think of all that transpired here in this book to get Jonah to Nineveh, we are entitled to make the point the purpose of God for Nineveh was that it might hear the preaching of Jonah. And if I may make the special reference and the special point, is it the case that God is saying to your heart, young man, or older man, I have a work for you to do, and I have a place where I want you to go, and that's my purpose, that you fulfill that? Well, if that is so, I trust that God will give you grace. We'll think of Jonah in a moment, but we're thinking of God's purpose here. And God's purpose, of course, is directly linked to the preaching that God would give Jonah. The message was, yet 40 days and Nineveh would be destroyed. Go to Nineveh, verse 2 says, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before thee. And of course the message was more precise later on the second time round. And doesn't that remind us of something? The importance of the ministry of the Word of God. God's purpose for Nineveh was that it might hear His Word through Jonah. A preacher. a preacher of righteousness. A preacher who was going to them to tell them of the great need that they had. There are many needs in many, many countries in regard to the practical matters of life. When we look out upon societies and countries, we see physical deprivation. We see suffering of all kinds. It is right and it is proper that where we have opportunity, we seek to alleviate that. But primarily, the responsibility of the church is to minister and teach God's word to people who suffer and die under the weight and guilt of sin. The world doesn't see that. But God has told us about it. And we know that's the greatest need. And it is God who calls us to bring that message. That's why it's so important tonight that we have heard of these young men, Patrice and Andrew, who have been brought now in to the ministry of the Word of God. It's so vital. It's so important. Because it is the purpose of God that men, women in countries hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And that is why it is important that if God is calling you, you need to hear. Can I just come now to the prophet? We've talked about God's purpose. Let's talk about God's prophet. He's told here, arise. God has a purpose for him in Nineveh. But he is told, arise. And yet, what do we read in verse 3? The word but. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now that, of course, is a negative response altogether to the call of God. It shows us that Jonah wasn't very happy with what God had for him and what God had said to him. Indeed, the first chapter unfolds the contention that there is between Jonah and God. He's on the run from the call of God. I was speaking to somebody tonight. And like Jonah, you're on the run. God has said to you, arise. However, a great big but is now in your argument against God. But God, I can't go for whatever reason. Could I suggest some reasons why servants of God refuse to go where God wants them? In Jonah's instance, the people were part of the problem. Jonah actually believed that the glory of God would be better served if God destroyed Nineveh. We gather that from chapter 4 and verse 2. It says in verse 2 of chapter 4, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So Jonah had an idea in his head that God would show mercy. And he didn't want God to show mercy because he believed that the glory of God would be better served if Nineveh, the capital of the empire of that time, were destroyed. Now we may look at Jonah and think, Jonah, do you know what you're saying? We may stand, as it were, appalled by the words of Jonah. But then let us think of the call of God that comes to the heart of the Lord's servant. Jonah was at least interested in maintaining the glory of God. But are there not those who are not interested in anything to do with God, but only their plan, their life, what they wish to do. And the sinful state of the ungodly, wherever they might be, does not really cause much concern. If God is saying to you, arise, and you ignore it, do you realize what you're doing? You ignore the people to whom God is calling you. You ignore the people whom God desires to send you to. Did not the Lord Jesus speak about a Pharisee and a Levite, and a man lying in the gutter having been wounded, and they passed by? In effect, to hear the call of God and not arise is to do likewise. A terrible thing. We think of the place. Nineveh wasn't maybe the place that Nineveh had in mind. In fact, if you read the passage carefully, Nineveh decides he's going to Tarshish. As many miles as Nineveh was in one direction, well, Tarshish lay in the other direction. He had another place he'd like to go. Of course, he was seeking to run from the presence of God. God, he knew, had set his name in Jerusalem, and therefore that's the signification of the presence of God. And therefore he thought, if I can just get away out of Israel altogether, well then I'll be away from the presence of God. So that's where he was running to. But he certainly wasn't running to Nineveh. He had his own ideas and his own plans in regard to a place. Maybe there's one in the meeting and that's you. You have your own ideas about a place. Do you know, even in regard to being in the work of God, it's very possible to be thinking about the wrong place. I've had personal experience of that. I can remember a good number of years ago now when I was in Tavistock, and I knew that I had a sense that the Lord was going to move me, but I had another idea in my head, and I had an idea about going across the big pond, and that was in my head. And that's where I wanted to go. Our brother, Reverend Hillis Fleming, was alive at that time. He was a minister in Liverpool. One day, up the M6, I recall his words to me. I was driving. He says, I know that you've got thoughts about going over the Atlantic Ocean. He says, I want you to stop thinking about it and start thinking about Liverpool. And I recall the words I said to him. I said, Hillis, the last place on earth that I will ever be is Liverpool. And I meant that. He ceased this conversation. He had hit the brick wall. But the Lord had not finished with me. I was hitting a brick wall. Because every time I prayed about my plans, all I could see was a brick wall going up in front of them. And I remember saying to my wife in the kitchen area of Le Mans in Tavistock, those people in Liverpool have asked me to pray, and I haven't, about going. I'm going to have to start praying. Well, do you see, from that moment on, if you can imagine a row of dynamos striking one another, off they went, because the Lord had broken my heart. And now I was on the right track and the place where God wanted me to go. I don't want to go on any more. I could say, but I'm giving that illustration because it tells us we can be engrossed in our own ways, our own plans, our own places. But God has a place. Are you in that place? If God is calling you to a place, Are you ready to say, I will arise, I will go? Maybe you've got other priorities. Little hymn says, above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee, O leave thy all, follow me. We thank God for what God did in the life of Jonah, because he brought him into his will. He had still more things to learn. But if I could leave one other thought with you concerning this idea of God bringing Jonah to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh. What was the purpose of God? Jonah, of course, expressed it. I knew what you're like. I knew that thou art a merciful God. Jonah knew what God could do. And what happened in that city? The city turned. It repented. Read the book. I'm sure you've read it before. But that was the purpose of God. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. So these people turned in repentance and faith to God. And God knew this. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. He knew all along what was going to happen in the city of Nineveh. And so this book closes with what I could call the pleasing purpose of God. It is that this city might be spared, that these people might be delivered. There's nothing sweeter than to be used by God to fulfill his will, particularly in regard to the saving of precious souls. We can't save souls, but God takes individuals, calls them, and calls them to minister his truth and his word, and through that souls are delivered and are saved. If the cost to us seems to be onerous, we should be able to say, like Paul of old, the things that have happened unto me, they have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. There's a book I came across because of my time in the southwest of England. I came across a group called the Bible Christians. That is, in history. They have merged since with Methodism. But if you go down into Cornwall especially, other places in the world as well, you might see BC. It doesn't mean these churches are thousands of years old. They're Bible Christians. You might have heard of Billy Bray. Well, that's the same connection. Well, in Cheviot in North Devon, there was a college. There were two men that went through that college. One was named Samuel Pollard. Another man was called John Diamond. In the late 1800s, in 1888, having gone through college and trained, heard the call of God, they went to serve the Lord in China. And they finished up in one of the western provinces of China. There for 28 years, Samuel Pollard and John Diamond and others labored for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Samuel Pollard said when he was 25 years in China, looking back, he was able to say concerning those years, I have no regrets when I think of what the Lord has wrought and what he has done for me. When he had served 28 years at the age of 51, having labored amongst the hills and the valleys, working among a particular tribe in that region, having labored in the translation of scriptures into a language that had never been written down, that had to be literally invented by him, but he came under the disease typhoid. He did not know it entirely, but I suppose as day followed day, he began to realize he was not going to survive. At the age of 51, he died, having served the Lord for 28 years in that region. If you go there to this day, in that region. There's actually a large library that is named after him. He's buried in that land, and still there are folk that mention him and speak of him. But the writer of his biography had this to record, that looking back, the tribes, people in that area, thank God that a man came to teach them the word of God, and he spoke of thousands who rejoiced at the coming of Samuel Pollard. Thousands were literally won to Jesus Christ. We know that in the early 1900s, many of the missionaries who were still alive were expelled out of that country, but the work that they did, still to this day, it lives on. What a pleasing thought that is, to think that God could use you and I in his service to spread the truth of Christ and his gospel, and leave a legacy behind that lasts not just for time, but for all eternity. Arise. Go to Nineveh. What a result. And oh, that that would be said of our work in Kenya, that in years ahead we can look back across whatever sacrifices have had to be made, and to be able to say, thank God for the souls saved, for the work that has been done, not just for a few decades, but for all eternity. When we think of the souls that have heard of Jesus Christ, that come to know him. May God take his word, make it effectual in our heart, give us a love for the cause and the work of Christ, to hear those words echo constantly in our head and our soul. Arise. Go. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray, Lord, that its challenge may be felt by each of us. We pray, Lord, that as we seek to give ourselves to thy cause and thy work, that thou wilt go before us. Help us remember thy work in the land of Kenya. Remember, Lord, these pastors. Remember those who hear thy call to go. And we pray that you'll make them obedient to the heavenly vision. O God, answer prayer. May there be one even in this meeting who hears that call of God to their heart, to their soul. May they be, as Jonah eventually became, one who went. O God, do answer prayer. Put thy hand upon this house, this meeting place, this congregation. We pray, Lord, you'll take your word and make it a blessing to each one of our hearts. Take our thanks for the good things that are provided to eat. Bless them to our use and body. Go before us, remember us tomorrow. Remember the meetings that lie on thy day. Bless those that come to minister your truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.